Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to the good folks at Save Taxpayers Vote No. Celeste Brissett actually sitting right across from me tonight. She'll be up here in just a few minutes. We're happy you joined us tonight at portable, I guess you could say, liberal headquarters, where we are thrilled to be on location here downtown at Union Station. Want to remind you that you can still join us here at Union Station, or you can reach us live, 316-869-1330, by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Couple of events coming up. The Sedgwick County Republican Party is hosting a Republican Red chocolate and wine fundraiser at the home of Sherry and Mark Cars. That's coming up on March 26th. Really cool event. You can find more information about that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook pages. And the AFP Foundation is doing something tomorrow, a focused get-out-the-vote phone bank ahead of Tuesday's Wichita sales tax vote. They're going to be calling residents to remind them about the election and help find their polling locations, make sure they have the information they need to participate. If you'd like to help out with them, you can find information about that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page as well. Tonight, we've got a great lineup. Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle will be with us to defend why he says only Donald Trump could tarnish Olympic hockey gold. That's Donald Trump for you. Senate President Ty Masterson will give us his take on Governor Kelly declaring victory in her SNAP data dispute with the USDA. Only the governor could lose and claim victory. Celeste Brissett will update us on next week's billion-dollar sales tax vote. Representative Pat Proctor will bring us our weekly Under the Dome update. We'll take your calls and audience comments from our live studio audience, and of course, we'll try and bring you that and more from our live studio audience. But before that, I do want to remind you that we have something big coming up next Tuesday. It's not just another date on the calendar. It's not just another, sleepy special election. that City Hall hopes you'll ignore. It's decision day. And special interests behind Wichita Forward are counting on you not paying attention. They're counting on low voter turnout. They were hoping for bad weather. They're counting on voter fatigue. They're counting on you being too busy, too distracted, and too lazy, and frankly too frustrated with politics to show up. Because when turnout is low and the insiders win. And this billion-dollar sales tax scheme, it was built for low turnout. And let's call this thing what it is. It's an $850 million blank check, a 1% sales tax hike slapped on everything you buy for years. And don't buy that it's only 7 years, because, by the way, at the end of the 7 years, they're just going to renew it. Groceries, school supplies, back-to-school clothes, Christmas presents, a washing machine when yours dies, dinner out with your family, a new car, 1%. Not 1 cent, that's another line of BS that they've been selling you. The white speck on the top of bird poop, that's what this is. It's all bird poop. And every time you check out, every time you swipe your card, every single time, City Hall's own numbers say the average family will pay roughly $352 more per year in additional sales tax. And that's their estimate, not mine. We all know how government estimates go. They start small, they end big. And here's what really burns people. This wasn't, you know, some long, thoughtful, careful, debated plan developed over years and had lots of public input. It was rushed. It was rammed onto the ballot with minimal public discussion, vague project lists, loose language, and a timeline that feels like it was designed to avoid scrutiny, not invite it. When you're asking taxpayers for nearly $1 billion, you'd better have a crystal clear, line-by-line, transparent plan. Instead, what do we get? Broad categories, shifting explanations, political sales pitches, insults, communist claims, and a ticking clock. If this were such a great deal, why the rush? If this were such a solid, well-thought-out proposal, why the vagueness? If this was truly about Wichita Forward, investing in our future, why not slow it down, tighten it up, and make the case in regular high turnout elections? Because urgency is a tactic, folks. Confusion is a tactic. Low turnout is a tactic. And you know what defeats all three? You do. Showing up. We're already living in an era of record inflation. Families are stretched. Insurance is up. Utilities are up. Property valuations are going up. They are going to do it again here in just a few days. You're going to get your next valuation increase. Interest rates are up, and City Hall's answer is, trust us. That's not reform. That's not discipline. That's not leadership. That's the easy button for governance. And conservatives, real conservatives, understand something fundamental. You cannot tax and spend your way to prosperity. Government doesn't create wealth. It redistributes it. Prosperity happens when money stays in your pocket, when families make their own decisions, when small businesses can reinvest instead of cutting another check to City Hall. This proposition flips this on its head. It says, trust us with $850 million. Trust us we'll spend it wisely. Trust us that the list won't grow. Trust us that this won't become permanent. Well, here's a radical idea. Before you raise taxes, try constraining spending. Before you take more families and ask them to tighten their belt, tighten your own. Before you ask for nearly $1 billion, prove that you've squeezed every dime out of what you've already collected. Stop spending $600,000 on shitters. That's not extreme. That's basic stewardship. And let me say this directly to the folks listening right now who are frustrated, who are tired of the mailers and tired of the ads and tired of the noise. I get it. But this is exactly why your vote matters most. Special elections are decided by a handful of votes. Dozens, sometimes fewer than that. You could literally be the difference. You could be the margin between a permanent tax increase and a wake-up call to City Hall. If you sit this one out, don't complain later. Don't call me and complain next Sunday. Don't complain when temporary stretches into a decade. Because Tuesday is the moment. This is when self-government stops being a slogan and becomes a responsibility. You don't need a lobbyist. You don't need a PAC. You don't need $1 million ad campaign. You need 10 minutes. 10 minutes to drive to your polling place, to stand in the line, 10 minutes to say no. It only happens if you let it. So Tuesday's election days. Tuesday is the time. And I believe in this city. I believe Wichita families are smart enough to see through the glossy brochures and the vague promises and the fancy ads on television. I believe we still understand that government should live within its means. Votes are what counts. So here's my challenge to you. Don't just vote. Bring someone with you. Text a friend. Call a neighbor. Remind your family. Because low turnout is their strategy. High turnout is our answer. Tuesday, make your voice heard. Protect your paycheck. Protect your family budget. Get out. Show up. Vote. And vote no. We'll take a quick break, and then Celeste Reset will update us on next week's $1 billion Wichita sales tax vote. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live at AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick whoever they want for our Supreme Court. Kansans deserve a voice in judicial selection. If you agree or if you want more information, visit takebackthebench.com for more information. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Sedgwick County Election Office says more than 10,000 Wichita residents have already cast ballots for the March 3rd special election, asking Wichita voters to approve that citywide 1% sales tax increase. A county spokesperson said Friday that more than 4,500 voters have cast early ballots at advanced voting locations. The election office also mailed out 12,000 or 11,000 advanced ballots to registered voters who've applied by mail. More than 6,000 have already been returned. With us now to talk about Tuesday's election is Celeste Reset from Save Taxpayers Vote No. Celeste, thank you for joining us.
No, John, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. It's fun to be broadcasting live.
It's nice to have you. We've had you on the show a couple times before. One of the few Democrats who've actually come on the show. So, but this is interesting because you're here. It's funny. I was talking with Ben Davis actually from Wichita Forward. And I told him, I congratulated him because it's one of the few times that he's actually been able to unite communists, Democrats, libertarians, and Republicans on something, and it's in opposition to him.
I know. So, he did a great service to us with all of that awful publicity he did for Wichita Forward in the beginning. And yes, it united us. We took advantage of that, I'd say.
According to City Concert, the estimates, and I mentioned it in the monologue, this thing is going to cost about $352 a year is what the average Wichita family would cost in the sales tax.
Yes.
And I know, you know, the proponents will argue, yes, but you could save on property taxes.
Right.
But in order to do that, first off, you have to own a home or
yep.
a business. And, you know, I get that. But if you're a renter or you're someone on a fixed income or someone who is it still is going to cost you more
exactly.
to in sales taxes than you're going to possibly, even unless you own a, you know, I don't know, like a Ty Masterson kind of palatial mansion. I'm looking
yeah.
at it when I say that. You know, unless you're living out in real fancy estates or something, there's no way that math works. The math ain't mathing.
That's right. In fact, 40% of Wichitans rent. So they're not going to see any of this property tax savings coming to them. They're going to be paying double in food groceries, and they're going to pay paying 13% more in everything else. So no, they're not going to gain from this. The math is all wrong, and it really boils down to why would you want to pay more in tax when it ends up costing you and your family?
Well,
it's regressive.
And it's the same thing for a lot of the other amenities. I mean, and don't get me wrong, there are a lot of things in this I think people could get behind. I think it'd be great to have a new Convention Visitors Bureau. It might be nice to have a new Performing Arts Center. I think
sure.
we all would like to see Century 2 better maintained. But at the same stake, a lot of those people who are going to be spending another $352 a year at the grocery store.
Right.
By the way, the legislature eliminated the sales tax on food. This includes sales tax on food.
It does.
You know, those people might not be able to afford to go to a concert at the new Performing Arts Center.
Yeah. And what's really ironic is the city pays about $1 million a year to do surveys. And for the past few years, the surveys have told them that this is not high on anybody's wish list to have a new performing arts or to expand Bob Brown. So it's really ironic that the city pays to survey its residents and then ignores the results. No one's asked for a new performing arts center. No one's asked for Bob Brown to be expanded. So really what the city needs to focus on is what a city does. A city does infrastructure. We need clean water, so let's get the Wichita water plant working. We need good roads, so let's fill the potholes and make sure that we don't bump down our streets. And let's take care of the basic essentials of our downtown greenery spaces and our parks and recreation. So yeah, it's kind of silly how this has become a wish list for the hierarchy and not really the basic needs that the citizens of Wichita want and need.
You know, and we're talking with Celeste Reset from Save Taxpayers Vote No. You know, their argument, the Wichita Forward folks, will say, oh, well, it's police and fire. And that has been, if you watch any of the TV spots,
they're tugging at that issue.
Yep. And again, I think most of us would say, okay, yes, that's a core function of government. But a lot of that stuff's already in the CIP.
Yep.
They're just not prioritizing it. And I think the mold issue has been a perfect example. They've known about these mold problems for 20 years, but they haven't been prioritizing it. Instead,
exactly,
they've been building the Portland Loos. They've been spending 2% a year on art, including a $1.2 million piece of art down at the water treatment plant. You know, look, if the mold remediation was that big of a problem, why are we building pickleball courts? Why are we dealing with police and fire?
It's called deferred maintenance, and it should be something that's just part of the regular budget. In fact, we've got plenty of money actually in our reserves. We've got $50 million in the general fund reserve. We've got almost $40 million in the stabilization reserve. Come on, we've got almost $100 million sitting in reserves. We're not broke. We've got this money. It just needs to be spent, like you said, on regular maintenance, on regular infrastructure. Let's budget for it. Let's take care of our capital improvement projects. Let's get those new fire stations, as has been budgeted for next year and the year after. Quit making this into a suddenly there's an emergency. There's not. This has been planned for. We've got the money for it. Quit saying we have to raise taxes to take care of these basic needs. They're already in the budget with the CIP.
Well, another issue that has come up is, and this is where you really got started. You cut your teeth on the Century 2 issue.
Yep, I did.
And yet there was a major article that came out recently about how they've been, for lack of a better term, misappropriating funds for things like, the
Fairfield Inn
and Visit Wichita that's sitting on millions of dollars.
$4 million pays the CEO
something like $300,000 a year.
Right.
And yet we're going to now raise sales taxes in order to fund Century 2 when in reality you've been misappropriating the funds for years.
Yep.
And I'm not blaming the city council. That's not Lily Wu's fault. That's not Dalton or JV's fault. That's the staff's fault. As far as I'm concerned, somebody over there needs to be fired.
Yep. So here's another good point you brought up, too, is you can say that this is a tax that is going for a specific need, but just like the hotel guest tax, exactly what you said, it got scraped off and used for other purposes other than what it was created for. That's the problem with this sales tax. There's no guarantee that it won't go for other related expenses, which could be Lord knows what in this slush fund. So that's what's dangerous about taxes, is they get misused and they get misappropriated, just like the hotel guest tax.
Well, and I don't know if you were aware of this. John Rolfe spoke to, which, by the way, that's the other thing I don't like, is this Wichita Forward Group, bunch of three rich guys who inherited their daddy's companies. None of them have ever held a real job. They're just a bunch of rich guys. And, you know, I like a guy that has actually signed, you know, the front of checks instead of the back of checks. But at any rate, these guys, but he was at a deal for the Chamber of Commerce the other day, and he was asked about the money, and he actually said the quiet part out loud. He said that he'd like to be able to take the money that's not spent and put it elsewhere. So
there you go.
There's so much
questions about how this is going to be used and how it's going to be spent. And I just, again, it comes back down to trust us. Well, I'm sorry, I don't. And it's, again, it's not the city council, it's the staff and Wichita Forward, and I don't trust them with $1 billion.
Well, here's a question I asked Aaron Bastian. Remember, I'm a banker, and I was with the FDIC as a bank examiner and a fraud investigator. So when I was at Rotary, I asked Aaron Bastian, who's also a banker, I said, if someone walked into your bank, Fidelity, and wanted an unsecured loan for $850 million with no collateral, no budget, no schedule of what they were going to spend on overhead, would you make that loan? And the audience laughed at his response because they knew he was not being serious. But that's this whole issue is, it's not only about trust. There's no blueprints. There's no site plans.
Right,
there's
yes.
There's no salary expenditures. There's no overhead estimates. This needs to be detailed out in five separate buckets so that voters can vote on each one of these various wish lists and see them vetted in the budget process under the new city manager, Dennis Marstall. Come on, let's give the new manager a chance to wrap his hands around the finances of the city. Let's give Mayor Wu a chance. She tried to break this out. Let's support her on that. So please vote no. There's too many undefined details, and let's vet them in five different buckets in November or August election. It doesn't mean this is done. It just means, for heaven's sakes, guys, you've given us a wish list with no detail. Taxpayers deserve better than that. So vote no, and let's break it out into five buckets and start over again.
If and that really is what it comes down to. I mean, I can tell them go to your Facebook page, which is say taxpayers vote no. Mm-hmm. But really, what this comes down to, I mean, you know, we're here. It's time. So, folks, really, what it comes down to is they need to go. We need to make sure they go vote.
Go vote,
and they vote no.
That's right. That's right. And if you have any questions about why we lack trust in the decisions that have been made in the past, look no further than the water plant, which is broken, and we're waiting on consultants to tell us what the bill will be to actually get it running.
Celeste, I appreciate you joining us this evening. And by the way, thank you for sponsoring us and bringing us here tonight. We appreciate that.
Yep. This is a team effort.
We'll take a quick break, and then Senate President Ty Masterson will join us to give us his take on why Governor Kelly has declared victory in her SNAP data dispute with the USDA. Funny how that works. She lost, but she's saying she won. It's the governor. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps if you're away from your radio. So Governor Laura Kelly declared quote-unquote victory, I don't know how she did that, in her resolving the data dispute with President Trump's administration. At issue was the Department of Agriculture's demand that the Kansas Department of Children's and Families provide data related to the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. Kansas had refused, raising data privacy concerns, and the governor caved and then said she won. Go figure. With us now is Senate President Ty Masterson. So, Ty, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to see you again. So the governor refused to release the eligibility data. The federal government required it. And then, you know, I mean, there was all kinds of threats of lawsuits. There was $10 million that the federal government was threatening to withhold. And she finally caved, and then she declared victory. Yeah, amazing how that works.
And I still think they're going to withhold it. Because
we went
seven months. We'll find out. You know, they also sent us a $12 million bill for our portion of it now. So it has cost us money. This whole thing has cost us money. You know, she gave up because we actually had a bill moving through
that.
The legislature that said, you shall do this. I mean, we shouldn't have had to compel her that way. But she was backed into a corner, you know, at the end of the plank. She had to declare victory or just defeat. And so why wouldn't you declare victory?
Well, and the state of Minnesota has been accused of this, too, and the Trump administration is withholding funds from them. And sure enough, they're finding now evidence where, you know, fraudulent Medicaid claims, fraudulent SNAP claims. Do you think they're going to find evidence now where Kansas has had some of this issue? I mean, how long do you think it's going to take for us to actually see the data?
And honestly, looking back, there has been some level of error rate all along, right? It's just hard to manage,
right.
But it's been multiples of that under her administration. I don't think they cared at all about the rules. I think they were giving benefits to people that were not eligible, and I think they were struggling even to find benefit to some who were eligible. They weren't even processing the paperwork fast enough. I mean, it's a mess. I think we're going to find a lot. I mean, this is what frustrates me as a legislator. You know how it is, and why it's so important we have a different governor, a Republican governor. We're trying to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, and they're perfectly comfortable with it.
And her take on that would be it wasn't state funding, it was federal funds, so what does she care?
Right. Well, and that is the attitude they have. But, you know, that's still
taxpayer
tax money.
Exactly, yeah.
Tell me you're not paying your federal taxes?
Right. So, you can get away with that for a little while, but eventually they're going to catch up to you.
No, it's 100%. It's just, you know, like people talk about how you drive a rental. Nobody cares. It's not yours. Well, that's the attitude they had because it was 100% federally funded until now. And so now they didn't care. They were just throwing the money out the window.
I know we're going to talk to Pat Proctor a little bit about the Under the Dome update, but he's on the House side, so I can get a little bit from you on the Senate side.
Sure.
Let me ask you one thing. The Senate passed Concurrent Resolution 16-16. That was the constitutional amendment that would cap property assessment increases at 3%.
Yep.
You know, I love the idea. We got to do something. But your colleagues across the hall, you know, Dan and I have talked about this. He doesn't like the idea.
So it's
got to be a compromise somewhere.
I think we've reached it. It's going to be a two-pronged approach, and 16-16 is half of that approach, which is the constitutional restriction. I've been such a big fan of it. We've passed it three times in the last 3 years.
I know.
Right, to make this thing happen. And actually, what it does is puts it on the ballot for the people to say. But we have to cap it because the two biggest problems we have in property taxes are these rapid increases, which then is taxing somebody on unrealized gain.
Yeah, I mean, unless you sell your house, you're never going to make that money.
Yeah, and people understand that in the market. I don't know why they can't get it. I hate property tax. I think it's the most, personally, I feel it's unconstitutional, but we've done it forever, so it's all local government. That's the difficulty, right? It's all local spending. But we have to cap it. So we'll put that on the ballot. And the House is working on a revenue limit. So on the internal statutory budget side, and I love those together, because if you can cap the assessment and protect people on these rapid gains, and then have a revenue limit on what the local government can do, those working together will actually get us in the right direction to solve the problem.
The wailing and gnashing of teeth from local governments and these municipalities is going to be, I mean, you'll be able to hear it from Topeka.
Oh, yeah, 100%, right? I mean, and the truth is, you know, change is painful. right? We all want to be able to spend whatever we want on whatever we got, but it's the local governments that, if you look at the spending levels of local governments, it's not been a good trajectory.
No. And in defense, because I know if it hasn't happened yet, I'll look at my phone. It hasn't happened yet. But Jim Howell's going to text me in a minute here, because I'm waiting. Just wait. It's going to line up. But, you know, he's going to tell you it's not the counties. And it isn't. They're in fairness. You know, counties are usually pretty good. Cities, not as good, but better. It's the schools. I mean, look, I live in Goddard, and last time it was 9%. The time before that, it went up 18%. Your schools are your biggest culprits here on these property 100%. Taxes.
Yeah, well, it's for the kids.
Yeah, yeah. If you say no, you hate kids and you hate teachers.
The problem is you're not seeing the outcomes that you would expect with that type of investment, right? I mean, it's the state also has been putting major additional money inside K-12 education. Our outcomes are not improving. We're actually in the opposite. Our outcomes are down, and even though we added it just in the last 6 years, so since Laura Kelly's been governor, 7 years, well, really from 2018, they put the CPI in the statute. I've been trying to remove it ever since that happened, but it's required us to put an extra $1 billion into K-12 at the state level, not even talking about the property tax increases.
Right.
And when we're not getting the results that the people are paying for.
We're talking with Senate President Ty Masterson. I got to ask you, you got sued recently. You're getting sued. Apparently a couple of, I don't know what you call them, she's or he's or them's or they's.
I'm not sure anybody can tell you.
I'm not sure, but they're challenging the common sense law designating bathrooms and driver's licenses.
Well, it's, by the way, what gets left out of that statement, it also meant birth certificates.
Yes.
People never talk, they were able to change their sex designation on their birth certificate.
So
I said, just process that for a minute. I said, why can't I change the date, Lynn? It's no less factual.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I identify as 35.
Or your race.
Those are statistical instruments.
That's a good point. Why couldn't I say I don't like being, I'm 56, I don't want to be 56 anymore, I want to be 26.
Right, so go change the date on your birth certificate. That's how ridiculous this is. I mean, they make it sound like it's some egregious thing. You're just having a factual thing be on a factual document and protecting our girls in private spaces. I mean, there's just, it is 100% common sense. That is a very vile activist group, though. As soon as we overrode the governor's veto, which I thought was the most common sense thing to do, like our phones have just been some vile screaming profanity and, you know, explicit things in the phone, and my 75-year-old secretary. I mean, it's kind of disgusting what they're doing. Now, 90% of that, honestly, probably more than 90%, is coming from out of state. They have as soon as those things happen, they blast that out on emails, and they send numbers out, and you get a lot of crazy people calling you. But you know what? It's not. It actually deepens my resolve to protect the women of Kansas.
Well, and this is, you know, what's interesting on this is an 80-20 issue. This, even amongst Democrats, independents, libertarians, let alone Republicans, this is a widely supported that,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's common sense. And as I'm sure we'll discuss it when he comes in. Oh, there he is. As a matter of fact, I'm sure we'll discuss this. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff, I mean, for how many years during COVID, the left was telling us to trust the science, and now here's an issue where they don't want to trust the science anymore. So
what is science?
Right, exactly. That's why
I'm not worried about the lawsuit that you mentioned, because the historical and biological facts are on our side.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where we're going to go with this, but... I know, again, we'll talk to Pat, and he'll give us the update on the House side, but what's coming up in the Senate side here in the next week or two that people should be looking at?
Well, we're in the middle of turnaround. I know that's inside the dome language, right. But we just received it, so we're at a fever pitch for the next 3 weeks, processing whatever the House has done. We will take their property tax position. They will take our amendment. That's probably the biggest thing happening. We are also looking at the components of what was the big, beautiful bill or the Working Family Tax Cut Act, opting into the school choice pieces of that, the tax credits for parents for choices. Those are some of the biggest things. We have some tort reform things going on, and then the budget and taxes, right? We've got the budget's a big deal, and so we're working through the budget, the big beautiful bill, property taxes, and then we'll roll out.
And how's the governor's race going?
It feels really good. I've been spending a lot.
How did I know he was going to say that?
A lot of time on the road. All my interactions have been positive.
You've been all over the state.
I have been.
You and Dr. Marshall, I figure you both probably crisscrossed, and he was on a 50-stop tour all across the state.
I've seen him more this year than in prior years as we go around. It is fascinating. You forget how big the state is. I've spent my time representing the 16th Senate District, but then, as the president of the Senate, broadly functioned for the state for the last 6 years. But it's, again, that takes us back to property taxes that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the number one issue I'm hearing around the state. You go out northwest and you'll hear about water, right, because they have a water issue out there, but property tax is still ahead of it. And you go southwest and you'll hear about four-lane highways and access transportation, but still everywhere property tax has been number one. So I'm calling it a crisis in this state because our kids, I have a gentleman live across the street from me that said he was paying double in property taxes alone is what he had been for his mortgage, his interest, his insurance, and taxes combined when he paid his house off 20 years ago. And he was losing his house.
None of this surprises me. I drove the bus for the last 8 years for the governor's races. So, and by the way, if you're looking for a bus driver,
well, I want my kids to be own a home too. First-time home buyer age just hit 40. Mm. That's a tragedy. I mean, that is where most people gain their net worth is in their real estate. And if they can't even afford a home, it puts a hamstring on all my kids. I mean, my wife and I, we have 6 children. They have all chosen, thank God, to live and raise their families here in Kansas. We just welcomed our 8th grandchild here. So I am 100% invested in making this state a better place.
Wow. Wow. Ty, if folks want to connect with you, they can find you at mastersonforgovernor.com.
Yes, please go.
Appreciate you, my friends. Good to see you again. And we'll have you on the morning show tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Well, and of course, I'll be getting up at 4 in the morning again. So,
don't call me at 4.
I will not call you at 4. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. We'll see who may wander over to the mic here at AFP's headquarters. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers, vote no on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers, vote no on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, right now, 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick whoever they want for our Supreme Court. Kansas deserves a voice in that judicial selection process. Voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or you want more information, visit TakeBackTheBench.com for more information. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So also want to remind you, AFP Foundation is their team is holding an event tomorrow for a focused Get Out the Vote phone bank ahead of Tuesday's Wichita sales tax vote. They'll be calling Wichita residents to remind them about the election, help them find their polling locations, and make sure they have the information they need to participate. There'll be a training at 5:30, and then they'll jump straight into the calls. They're going to provide dinner. If you'd like information, if you want to help out, if you want to make calls with the AFP Foundation team, you can get more information and sign up at the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. We have a caller on the line. He's a concerned Derby voter. Go ahead. That's all he said. He's a concerned Derby voter. So that's all I can say. I don't know his name. So Derby concerned voter, you're on the John Whitmer Show.
Hey, thank you, John. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you
of
for
course.
What you do.
My pleasure.
Hey, I just wanted to say, being you're on taxes and property taxes, quite a bit has been spoken about already, but mine in the past 2 years has gone up over 30% on my properties.
Your property taxes have gone up 30% in the last 2 years. And is that mostly municipal or is that the Derby School District? My guess is it's more the Derby School District.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
That would be my guess. The Sedgwick County is probably going to be, over the last 2 years, they've gone up about 9%. So my guess is the city of Derby is then probably going to be in similar 6 to 9%. And then on the rest of that will probably be the Derby School District. Typically, that's where, like I said in the last segment, in my case, mm-hmm. Goddard was 18%. 1 year, 9% the year before that, 12% the year before that. So the bulk of what you're seeing is going to be your Derby school district.
But there's something very much related to that that I'm very concerned about, and that a few weeks back I was on South Rock Road and going in a retail shop, and I noticed across the way there was a long line of very well-organized high school kids.
Yep.
Carrying signs, anti-ICE signs. And
yes, I see that too. These school districts that are, I wouldn't necessarily say they're promoting the anti-ICE protests, but if you saw them down in Derby with allowing a walkout or doing an anti-ICE protest, I don't know how much the schools can necessarily discourage it, but they certainly should be enforcing their absenteeism policy. I mean, in Lawrence, they're actually endorsing it and effectively participating in it, because I know the superintendent at the Lawrence School District was actually promoting their anti-ICE protests.
This looks so well organized. I don't believe it to be grassroots movement of any kind.
No, they do seem very well organized, and in my I personally think the school districts are de facto endorsing it. They're certainly allowing them. They're not really doing much to discourage them. And frankly, when you have districts that have flat or declining student achievement numbers, where people are, these students are still struggling to get basic math, basic reading, basic science scores, maybe the district should be focused more on getting kids to graduate and be able to actually pass basic NAEP scores. Maybe that's what they should be focused on, and not woke indoctrination or ICE protests or things that actually matter. And let's focus on getting them college and career ready and not worried about ICE protests.
Yeah, John, I more than agree with what you're saying. And my concern is that we all want to see our youth succeed at their endeavors.
Correct.
We want to encourage the youth in any way we can. And for them to be exploited in this way, I believe, by the public school system, by NEA, is just a real crime, when it's with my tax dollars that have gone up over 30% in the last 2 years.
Yep.
This is just very, very wrong. And I don't know what else to say about it. I hope everybody else is as outraged at it as I am. They need to be learning the 3 R's, like you're saying.
Yep. No, I agree with you. And I, again, look at Wichita School District, USD 259. Every indication is they're going to be back at it this November, requesting another $500 million property tax increase. And yet, USD 259 has declining numbers for student achievement, and yet once again they will be back asking for another $500 million tax increase. So I appreciate the I'd call you by your name, but you didn't give us your name, but I appreciate the call. We always appreciate your call, and trust me, I know your frustration and certainly understand it. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, Representative Pat Proctor will bring us our Under the Dome update, and then my old friend Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We're always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 39179. And tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, as we do every Sunday evening while the legislature's in session, we like to bring you our Under the Dome update from Topeka. With us now is State Representative Pat Proctor. Drove all the way down. Thank you, Pat, from driving down from the red, not-so-red area of the state up there. That's the Johnson County enclave.
Yeah, well, I'm up in Leavenworth, but I've got like the bluest part of Leavenworth.
That's okay. We like if you fight the good fight for us up there. Let's see. So this week, the House passed your version of the property tax reform we had Ty on earlier. Tell us a little bit about the House version, because I'm not that familiar with it.
Well, first of all, John, I just want to say how proud I am, because I found out last week that Leavenworth is number one. The last 5 years, we've been number one in property tax hikes, 55%.
Oh, there's so, something to be proud of. Yes.
Number one. Woo-hoo! You're good at something.
Number one in property taxes.
Yeah, so my constituents are screaming for this. I really like the solution that Ty came on here with, and I voted for it last year, but it didn't have the support in the House to come across the line. But I really like what the House just passed. Instead of just capping the valuations, which allows the schools, the city, the county to raise the mill levy to make up for the money, it caps the budget
spending
at 3%. Yeah, and so if they want to spend more than 3%, the original bill was go to the voters, and I love that.
Yeah,
make
I love
them,
that
make
idea
them run
too.
An election. What we were able to get 84 votes for was a petition. And we've lowered the threshold, so if they have to put the petition right there in the county courthouse where anybody can walk up and sign it, and if it's like 5% of the midterm election turnout signs that petition, they're stuck at 3%, and they got to figure out how to make it work. There was incentive in there. If they stayed under 3%, they got this slush fund. Why are we paying them to do the right thing?
Yeah, why are you paying them to be fiscally responsible?
I'm thrilled that's out of there. So I think this is a great mechanism, because it doesn't just get at the valuations, which are half the equation. It gets at the spending, which is the whole equation.
I love the idea. I can't wait to see. Now, you said 84. That's the key, because you know the governor's going to veto all this, because she, first off, she's term limited, so she doesn't care. And second off, she's a big tax and spend lib, so she doesn't like any constraint on government. You think you've got the votes to override?
We sent it to the Senate with a veto-proof majority.
Okay.
Unbelievably, every single Democrat voted against it.
Of course they did.
I wish I was running for the House again, because I would love to go knock doors against the Democrat that voted against this.
I would too. Yeah. I would too. So the budget's still high. I know Dan, I talked to Dan. He did our version of this show on the morning show. Yeah. He did Under the Dome this week. He said the House passed a budget too high from what his take. And so you're hoping that conference can kind of fix this, because you're still looking at least another couple hundred million that you guys are going to have to cut.
Yeah. Well, I'm really, really proud of my speaker, and I'm really, really proud of our Senate president. For years and years in Kansas, we just took whatever the governor gave us, maybe gave it a haircut, and then passed it, and she signed it. And now, this last couple of years, they've committed to the process that we're going to write our own budget. And it forces us. It forces us to come in at a lower number, because you don't want to write your own budget then come in over what the governor gave you. And I'm confident that we're going to get down to the number that we need to get down to before it's all over. It's just, we're kind of in this back and forth and conference committees with the Senate. But I'm confident we're going to get there, because we are the party of fiscal responsibility, and we've taken the budget process back. And we need, when the new governor comes in, they don't need to be smacked in the face with a budget crisis. We need to get our fiscal house in order before they ever get in the door.
You mentioned if you were running for the House again. You're not. You're running for Secretary of State. You've been taking some attacks lately from the press, ironically, for trying to secure the vote. I don't understand. Well, I guess it's the press. So, but they're rather mad at you because you're trying to secure our elections.
Before I was in politics, I spent 25 years in the Army, and there's a saying in the Army that, and in the military in general, that if you're taking fire, it probably means you're on target.
Yeah.
And
it's like Churchill used to say, if you're making enemies, it means you're doing something right.
Exactly. We've done things this year, like making sure that every driver's license has your citizenship status on it, so that poll worker that's doing the voter ID can be that last line of defense. My vice chair, Paul Wagner out of Hutchison's, got a great bill that we moved for all these bond issues and all these sales tax issues, especially the bond issues. The schools are using tax money to encourage you to vote yes to raise your taxes.
Noticed, which I hate that. You're using tax dollars to lobby the taxpayers for more taxpayer
Buying
dollars.
Signs, buying mailers, great bill. And, of course, all the access to ballot harvesting comes out against it. The ACLU, the League of Women Voters, Loud Light. So, if you're taking flack, you're over the target.
I do think it's kind of funny. I know we've got to let you run. I wanted to ask you, the appeals court has been currently scrutinizing the constitutionality of fusion voting, which I hate the idea. I think it's stupid. I think it's just going to confuse voters, which it does. I'm curious your thoughts on this whole fusion voting concept.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I'll say I'm not always a fan of the Supreme Court, but my favorite quote of that entire hearing was, aren't you on the wrong side of 10th Avenue? Shouldn't you be across the street trying to get this passed? It's clearly illegal. It's been illegal for over a century. I, you know, as the chairman of the Elections Committee and something that I am going to try to do as Secretary of State, I believe in that we need to increase transparency, not make things more opaque. And I can't think of anything more opaque than a vote counting process that requires you to total your name over here on the ballot, your name over here on the ballot, and maybe your name in another race and mash them all together.
Allowing a candidate to be on the ballot in the same race under two different parties or three different parties. It's just
crazy. You know, they pulled some of these shenanigans last year where they'd be nominated by the Democrats and then also nominated by the United Kansas or whatever.
Whatever party, some crackpot party.
Well, we've closed that loophole. The legislative intent is clear. I don't put anything past the Supreme Court, so you never know what's going to come out of that building. But I think that this is just clearly illegal, and it defies common sense. So I am hoping and praying that the Supreme Court's been pretty good on election stuff. You know, Justice Stegall wrote the last election opinion saying we clearly have the authority to regulate elections as a legislature. It's written right into the U.S. Constitution. So I'm confident that that's going to
happen. I'm like you. I don't put much past the Supreme Court. But, I mean, they are the most overturned court in the country. Yeah. But we'll see. Pat, if folks want to connect with you, they can find you at PatProctor4KS, and that's the number 4, correct?
Yep, or they can go to Pat Proctor for Kansas Secretary of State on Facebook and to check me out.
Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for coming down and joining us tonight. We'll take a quick break, and then my old friend Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle will tell us why he says Donald Trump could tarnish, only Donald Trump could tarnish U.S. Olympic hockey gold. He also doesn't like the Supreme Court ballot initiative. I'm going to ask him about both those questions. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. I think Donion's got a little Trump derangement syndrome, but we'll see what we can do. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. We'll be back right after this.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt-lined drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers. and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live at AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers. Vote no on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They do a day of action, so usually the third Saturday of every month. It's a great way to help mobilize grassroots activists for legislative advocacy, door knocking, and phone banking here in Wichita and all across Kansas. If you'd like more information or if you want to get involved, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org for more information. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, again, I people ask all the time, Dion, if you and I are friends, if we, you know, how I can, and we are.
We're
friends. And yet.
Been for a long time.
And we have been for a long time, even back when I was in the legislature.
Yeah, I mean, yes. we went through the bad days at the legislature together.
Well, it wasn't bad for me, but. But it's interesting because, you know, we disagree on policy. And, you know, we had you on the morning show on Friday, and we talked about this topic. And it's funny because Ted asked me afterwards, and we've talked before about how sad it is. You know, if you think about Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, who diametrically opposed on probably 90% of the issues, and yet the two of them could still get a drink afterwards. They could go get a beer. They were still friendly. You and I are probably diametrically opposed on most issues. The one we're going to talk about.
Not the sales tax.
Not the sales tax. Yes, it's a good example. Not the sales tax. And yet we're still friends. And before we get into the issue, I do think it's sad that we are in a climate politically right now where people can vehemently disagree on issues, and yet many of them are unable to be friends. Well, why is that, do you think?
Well, I just think that there are so a lot of these issues are personal.
Sure,
you know, and when you're talking about things like, I don't know, tax policy or something. Okay, that's, you know, okay, we can all, you know, we can agree to disagree on that, and. You know, it's not like you have to pay a little bit more money, maybe a little bit less money. Who knows? But, you know, it doesn't like directly attack you.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of this stuff today is just.
They take it personally.
Well, yeah. And you can't hardly blame them because it's meant personally. You know,
sometimes, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's somebody may have a philosophical belief or a religious belief, and just because someone believes something religiously doesn't mean it's personal. And I think oftentimes they take it personally. And that kind of brings me to the op-ed that you wrote, and we've got a couple that we'll talk about, but one of which was one where you said Donald Trump, only Donald Trump could tarnish U.S. Olympic hockey gold. For those who don't subscribe to the Eagle, who think that the Eagle really makes good birdcage liner, explain your position.
We're digital now.
That's true. I subscribe digitally. Why do you think that? Why did you say that? Why do you say that Donald Trump could tarnish Olympic gold?
I think he just completely mishandled that whole thing. It was very. You know, when the team won that gold medal.
The men's team.
And the women's team, actually.
Yeah.
You know, because they both won in overtime on a goal. But the when the men's team won, I was super excited. You know, I watched that 1980 Miracle on Ice on my 16-inch Quasar TV in my college apartment, and you know, I was flashing back. You know, I was feeling that again. And then the post-game locker room call happened, and Trump said that you know, he invited him to the State of the Union address, and then he said, "And we'll have to bring the women, or we'll get them preached if I don't." And you know, so that,
but you recognize it was just a joke.
Well, there's jokes and there's jokes, but you know, I mean, you know, the proper response to that would have been, "Mr. President, you're talking about our teammates here. You know, you're supposed to, you know, I mean, whenever I played team sports, you know, you are supposed to stick up for your teammates." And,
sure.
And those women were their teammates. And anyway, and then he puts out the video of himself scoring the winning goal.
Well, I don't think he put it out. I think it was somebody else put it out. He retweeted it. But
well, you know, you're responsible for what you post, okay?
Again, you know. A lot of this is just...
And beating up a Canadian hockey player? Come on, man.
He's, you know, he's joking. He's posting jokes.
The female Canadian hockey players could beat him up. Their figure skaters probably could.
I know. He's posting jokes. He's posting memes. You can disagree with them, but I guess...
And then it got... Hang on. And then it got really... It got worse because he posted that video of... And this was the White House posted this.
Right.
Was the video of Brady Tkachuk... where they dubbed over what Brady Tkachuk actually said,
right,
with a very profane insult to Canada.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, he's the captain of the Ottawa Senators, and his first game back, he got laid out like a sack of potatoes.
I saw that.
On the ice, you know, so it's like...
Again, these are all jokes, though. And I guess the first reaction I had was, you know... People, you got to have a sense of humor. You got to recognize it's a bad joke. It may be off color. It may be inappropriate, but it's just a joke.
But it's not a joke when you take somebody's image and you put words in their mouth that get them, you know, just banged on by the people that, you know. I mean, the guy's the captain of a Canadian hockey team,
for
crying out loud. He doesn't hate. He would not say what he said, and he was pretty angry about that.
The analogy that I made on Friday was trying to compare to what's more offensive. And, you know, what's more offensive to me is biological males competing in women's sports. That's more offensive to me than, you know, a hockey joke, than Donald Trump posting something or an off-cover joke in the locker room. That's much less offensive than the... You know, what happened to Riley Gaines is much more offensive than a biological male fully intact.
What, somebody tied her for fifth in a swim race?
A biological male who spent 15 minutes naked in the locker room with his female counterparts. That's more offensive to me. He's fully intact. He's got his junk right there, and the female...
So if he didn't have his junk, he'd be okay.
No, it's still inappropriate. He's still a biological male. That's more offensive to me than Donald Trump's bad choice of humor. I find it amazing that the left is not offended by that, but they're offended by this. And that's I don't understand the disconnect there.
See, there isn't a disconnect there, because what it is the what made that especially egregious.
Which? The Trump joke?
The Trump joke.
Okay.
Well, the Trump, whatever, you know, what they did there. What made that especially egregious is they're holding themselves up as these great protectors of women's sports, and obviously they have nothing but disdain for women's sports.
Well,
they don't care about women's sports.
He did invite them to the White House.
After, you know, they won their game 2 days before the men did. He could have invited him then.
As my mother used to say, don't take offense where offense isn't meant. I don't think there was any offense.
And then they
there.
Blew him off, which, you know, I thought was the right move.
I think, as I pointed out to you, the official statement from the women's team was that, you know, they did actually have scheduling conflicts. Yeah, diminishing that.
They went and
that,
partied with Flavor Flav. You know, I mean, they'd rather be with him than the president.
Their official statement was that they were honored and grateful to be invited.
They've made several personal appearances since, you know. So, I mean,
just saying, again, I guess what it comes down to for me is you choose your what I find is interesting is what offends you versus what's truly offensive.
Well,
and for me, biological males competing in women's sports is a lot more offensive than an off-color joke.
Look, if you don't like transgender people, just say you don't like transgender people.
It's not that I don't like them. I actually don't believe...
You don't have to drag women's
I don't believe they exist. They're not transgender. That whole notion, it's just not... I mean, that's a manufactured term.
Yeah, see, I believe in freedom, so...
I believe in freedom, too. They're free to dress up however they want. They're free to behave and to act and to put on outfits and do whatever they want, but I'm not going to recognize... I recognize the scientific and biological
reality.
They're
free until they do something that bothers you.
Doesn't bother me in the slightest. It doesn't bother me at all. Go ahead, dress up, pretend to be what you want to be, but I also don't have to change the biological reality. The truth is what the truth is. See, I trust the science, something that the left has been trying to get us to do all through COVID.
Well, the Olympic...
I trust the science. This is the one time when all of a sudden leftists don't want us to trust the reality is when it comes to this issue.
Well, in the Olympic Games, there's been one transgender woman compete. And she got seventh. So it's not
That's not actually true.
That
I mean,
is
maybe
actually
you're talking
true.
About the Olympics, but if you look at, according to the United Nations, this was a report released in October 2024, more than 600 biological females have lost over 890 medals to transgender-identifying males, that's biological males, across 29 different sports, in roughly the five-year period ending of March of 2024. So over that period of time, that's literally 600 females who have lost almost 900 medals.
So when did you start? When did you start believing the United Nations?
You literally just said, you're just telling me a minute ago that you don't believe the United Nations.
You don't believe what the World Health Organization and the United Nations said about COVID. So it's
you believe the United Nations and COVID.
I'd like to know what medals we're talking about here. I mean, are these high school kids or what?
Well, I'm just citing the stats. So all of a sudden, you don't believe them, but you would believe them in any other circumstance. See, this is the hypocrisy of the left.
It's a hypocrisy of the right, too, apparently.
Okay. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to ask you about another op-ed that you wrote about the Supreme Court nominating the amendment that's coming up.
All right.
It was another good one. We'll take a quick break, pay a few bills. We'll continue our conversation with Dion Leffler. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live at AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And remind you, you can always listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We'll continue now with our conversation with Wichita Eagle opinion editor Dion Leffler. With the legislature, he got a new article, actually, that came out just this last week, where he claims that the legislature doesn't want you to know before you vote next August. That was the byline off of it, or the title, rather. Basically, critical of the constitutional amendment that seeks to change how we select justices for the state Supreme Court. You're not a big fan of the constitutional amendment, I take it, Dion.
No, actually, I think it's probably the worst excuse for a constitutional amendment I've seen in years.
Okay. I mean, why? Open-ended. Why? I mean, because the way I look at it, you've got nine unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys. They pick who they want for the court, and there's really no representative democratic process involved.
Well, there is a representative democratic process involved. That, the governor, who's an elected official, appoints.
Right. Well, she only gets to choose one of the three that are picked by this crew. So there's really,
But she picks four members of the crew.
But the five, the majority.
Or the governor, whoever the governor is.
Right. Obviously. Yeah, the governor picks four, but the majority. So really, the majority gets to say who these three are. And then they send them to the governor. The governor has to pick one of those. And so really, the five people are the one, the majority are the ones. The four people that the governor appoints really don't have a say because those five control who gets nominated.
Well, actually, in the entire history of the judicial, what was the Judicial Selection Commission and now is the Supreme Court Nominated Commission, there's never been a case where the five lawyer members outvoted the four lay members. It's never.
Well, how do we know this?
Because
the process is cloistered. We don't know how
they vote. The process isn't cloistered. They vote in public.
But we don't know how they vote.
We do. It's a public vote. They come, you know, they can discuss it behind closed doors, but
right.
When they vote, they have to vote.
They vote in public.
They have to vote in public.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, it's been traced all the way back to 1958 that, you know, that's never actually happened. But the thing that bothers me about this is that there's a little codicil in there at the end that says that it revokes basically the ethics requirements that judges cannot serve as party officers, as political party officers.
So they couldn't be a precinct person.
They couldn't be a precinct. Well, I mean, if the amendment passes, you know, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court could be the chairman of the Kansas Republican Party.
Could be. I mean,
you know, I mean,
the likelihood of that. The likelihood of that is pretty extreme, pretty unlikely.
Well, why would it be?
You know how difficult it would be to run as that high an elected official for a party office at the chairman of the Democrat Party.
You know,
I think it's pretty difficult.
Well,
it's possible.
Yeah,
I think it's also likely that they're protecting them in case they want to run for a precinct person. Or I mean, I think you're blowing this into a
fact.
They could run for chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. I think I'd have to look into the reason they did that. I don't know their reason behind it. I doubt it's so that they could run to be chair of the party.
Well, they could be officers in the party, and
sure
if you're not planning,
we'd have to look into the reasoning behind it.
If you're not planning on that,
they could explain it.
If you're not planning on that, then why would you write it in?
I don't know. We'd have to ask.
You know, I mean, it's.
But I doubt it's so that they could run to be chair of the party.
Well, they could. They could be party officers. There's all kinds of party officers. You know that.
Yeah, well, not but, really. I mean, there's really only four. You could be a secretary. You could be a treasurer. You could be. I mean, it's not that complicated, but I'm not overly concerned about it. Some grand conspiracy.
Well, actually.
And by the way, why are you concerned saying that it's all Republicans? The Democrats have party officers, too. So do libertarians. So does the Communist Party, for that matter, I'm sure.
Well, actually, I don't think they do. But
you see my point. I mean, you're making this out like it's all a Republican Party.
Well,
the Democrats have a party, too.
Well, who's the dominant party in the state?
Well, but again, making this out like it's all the Republican Party that's behind the Democrat Party has a say.
The Republican Party that was behind the amendment.
Well,
and if you're not trying to hide something, then why wouldn't you put it in the ballot description?
I'd have to look this up. I'm not that familiar with this. You've come up with some obscure thing here.
Well,
the biggest claim that you make in this article is that the objection here is to that it's partisan. And you cite Gloria Farha Flintje, who is an attorney in the immediate past chair of the Kansas Supreme Court Nominating Commission. And you extol her as being some virtuous, nonpartisan expert.
No, I didn't extol her as being. I mean, she's the expert, yes. And she served on that panel, yes.
But you make her out as her language in here refers as if she's some nonpartisan.
Everybody's in a party, you know, or at least many people.
You make it
are.
Out like she's a nonpartisan expert.
I make it out like she's an expert.
But
she's
certainly nonpartisan, and she's never been nonpartisan. She's a perfect example. You've also got Supreme Court justices who've also been caught repeatedly over the years. For example, Gloria Flintje. who is a Democrat donor to current Democrat gubernatorial candidate, Corson. So she's currently donating to the Democrat candidate for governor.
How much did she donate?
$250.
Okay.
She donated to a Democrat governor candidate, and yet she's the one who says, quote, they're politicizing the Supreme Court. So she's mad about politicizing the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, she's making campaign donations to a Democrat candidate for governor. Well, when a few years ago, there was a Supreme Court justice whose husband was hosting campaign fundraisers in their home. So, I mean, for them to claim that this is going to politicize the court is a joke. This court's been politicized for years.
Well,
it's the most overturned court in the country. I mean, this is not going to politicize the court. If anything, it makes the court more democratic. It opens it up for transparency.
I mean, Elon Musk donated millions to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean,
are you saying there's no money? I mean,
what I'm saying is that.
I'd like to Gloria, let people have a...
Gloria donating $250 to a non-judicial candidate.
While she's claiming that there's no partisan politics in the Supreme Court, she's donating to Democrat candidates.
She didn't donate to the Supreme Court candidate. She donated to a governor candidate.
Right, out of one side of her mouth, while on the other side of her mouth, she's writing campaign checks.
So should people who are serving on the panel not be able to donate?
I'm just saying, if you're going to claim that you're nonpartisan, then you turn around and you write checks to Democrat candidates, maybe you're not so nonpartisan.
I don't think she ever claimed that she was nonpartisan.
I'm just quoting her quotes. But my point here in this whole thing is, we have an entire branch of the government that's controlled by attorneys. It's time to give power back to the people. And that's why I think we just need to I trust the voters here.
See, that's the thing.
And I don't understand why the opposition is so afraid to let people have a say in this process.
But you keep saying it's controlled by the lawyers. It's not controlled by the lawyers.
It is controlled by the lawyers.
They don't vote.
Right now there's 7,000 lawyers in the state. They're the ones that select this nominating commission. I don't get to vote on
the
Supreme Court.
They select five of the nine members.
And that's the majority.
Yeah. But
so I don't have a vote. Do you have a vote?
Do
you have a vote on the Supreme Court nominating?
My son does.
Because he's a lawyer. Exactly. You don't have a vote. I don't have a vote. No one in this room has a vote. Because we're not lawyers. So you have an entire branch of our government, a branch, by the way, that somehow found a right to an abortion and is currently mandating a massive chunk of our budget towards schools.
Ah, so now we get to the real point here.
The massive chunk of our budget towards schools, yeah. They are usurping the power of the purse, and we have no say in it, whether you are pro-abortion or not. Whether you are a fiscal conservative or not, you've got an entire branch of our government, and there's no transparency and no democratic process.
John, we did vote on abortion.
I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking about the fact...
You're talking about abortion. We voted on abortion.
I'm talking about the fact that no voters have any say on who those nine people are.
The legislature put a ballot initiative on the ballot.
You're talking about abortion. I'm talking about allowing the voters to have a say who controls the nine people on that court.
Of the
why are you afraid of letting people...
Four of the five lawyers.
Uh-huh.
They're elected by congressional districts.
That's the minority. So they have no authority. They have no power. They're the minority.
Well,
why are you afraid? Let me ask you this.
No. Wait.
Why are you afraid of letting voters decide?
Wait a second. You just said that they control it. And now you're saying they're the minority and they have no power.
No, I said the majority, the lawyers control it. Why are you afraid of letting the voters decide?
Just answer that question. Let me answer this first, okay?
And then I'll get back to yours.
But four members of the five who are lawyers that serve on this panel are elected by congressional districts.
Okay.
So you have one from Western Kansas, you have one from Central Kansas.
Elected.
Elected by the bar.
By the bar, by lawyers. By lawyers picking lawyers.
Right.
Okay.
And I think.
So they're not elected by the people, they're elected by lawyers.
Yeah.
So again,
it's a legal job.
Why are you afraid of letting
the whole point? The whole purpose why are you afraid of letting
the voters decide? I trust the voters.
Yeah, I. Well,
are we not?
We already had, we had popular election for up until 1958.
It works at every other level. I mean, look at Sedgwick County. We've got great judges in Sedgwick County.
The reason that it changed in 1958 was because of the outrage.
Oh, something that was, going on.
The outrage.
70 years ago.
Yeah.
Some triple play that happened with some corrupt governor 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on.
And now we've eliminated that corruption.
It was 70 years ago.
We have.
One bad guy 70 years ago.
We have a system that served us fine for all these years.
I don't think it served
us. And the only reason that you want to change it, reason you want to change it is what you brought up earlier. They didn't vote the way you liked on abortions.
No,
and they didn't like the way they voted on school funding.
I don't like the fact that this is a non-transparent process where there's no democratic process and they're not accountable to the people. I'd like to have the people have their say instead of essentially five lawyers picking it. And I trust the voters.
See,
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I trust voters too, but the voters are not necessarily informed enough.
Thank you. You just said it. You don't believe voters are informed enough to make the decision.
Well,
I appreciate you admitting it.
Well,
I've got to run. We're up on a hard break. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll see who might be able to rustle up for our next segment. You're listening to the live broadcast from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Their day of action is the third Saturday of every month. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Get information about events like the Sedgwick County GOP's Republican Red Chocolate and Wine Fundraiser. It's a really cool event at the home of Sherry and Mark Kars coming up on March 26th. Great way to kind of indulge yourself. You can find more information on that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Myron, one of our guests here at the at our live event. You have a question, I know. You were fire away, Myron.
Not as much a question as I issue to point out, judges being politically active is improper under judicial ethics.
Yeah,
they cannot.
Some of our friends that we hang out with, Pachyderm Club, they're really pretty good about not being politically
active. Yeah, ask them a question. They have no opinion because it might come before them as a judge.
Correct.
So if they were to say, I want to be I want to be vice president of the
Sedgwick County political
party, they have taken a position.
That's a good point. So they couldn't run for one of those offices because it would force them to. Sure, Dionne, if you want to, what do you say to that? Because they couldn't necessarily run for a political office or take a position in a county party like that because it would force them. Wouldn't that force them to then take a position? Like, for example, as in my role as county chair, we had to take political positions and we actually engaged in campaign activity. A judge couldn't do that, could they?
Well, that's exactly what the ballot measure says that they can do. And I'll read you the...
But isn't that a canon of judicial ethics, not a ballot measure? See, that's a part of their judicial ethics, not the ballot.
But see, that revokes that part of the judicial ethics. And let me read you the supplement.
But I don't think that actually can, because that's part of their judicial ethics, not their.
Let me read you the supplemental note. This is Senate Concurrent Resolution 1611 that put this on the ballot. The resolution would propose removing the prohibition against Kansas Supreme Court justices.
I just got notice that music says we got about 30 seconds. So let me do this. I will look into it, and I'll see what we can find, because this is clearly an interesting topic that I wasn't aware of. So let me look into it. Maybe, Dion, why don't you and I look at this, and we'll maybe at our next conversation we can explore it a little more. How's that? We'll remind you about that Republican Red Chocolate and Wine fundraiser at the home of Sherry Mark Cars coming up March 26th. And tomorrow, AFP is doing their call around. So make sure you check that out. In the meantime, carry on and tune in tomorrow morning for Woodward and Witt.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.